But today I want to talk about our gospel lesson. And I want to start with a question. Have you ever been on the lookout for something? Whether it's peeking through the window, looking for a relative or friend to arrive, or even a delivery man to bring a package, or looking for something that you lost. If you're like me, maybe your keys. And when you lose them, you find them sometimes right in front of your face. But in that moment, you couldn't find it. And when I think of looking for something, I think of that old phrase that goes, keep your eyes peeled. Which sounds kind of strange, because when I think of peeling something, I think of a banana, I think of an orange, I think of a piece of fruit. I don't think of peeling my eyeballs. But if we look at the rich origin of that word, that phrase, it meant to remove the barrier. And you can see it. Keeping your eyes peeled means keeping your eyelids up, removing that barrier between your eyes and the world. In today's gospel lesson, we hear the call story of the disciples Nathanael and Philip. In this story, they encounter the Messiah, the King to come, a person they have been waiting for, a person they have been keeping watch for. And we know this because Philip tells Nathanael that he has found the one that Moses and the prophets spoke about. Yet even the spotting of the Messiah is not a consequence of their vision, but rather God's vision for them. As Jesus tells Nathanael, he saw him under the fig tree. The disciples recognized Jesus because of God's desire to call them as disciples. Their ability to recognize Jesus is the result of God preparing them to see, God peeling their eyes. And on top of recognizing Jesus, Jesus offers them more by telling them that they will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. They will see more than what they have already seen. A statement that actually helps prepare us. It helps prepare them for what they are about to see. But as readers, we are prepared to see heaven opened. And in the next passage, we actually get something like that. If we were to keep reading, and I were to go for another chapter, which I'm sure you're all glad I decided to stop where I did, we would come to the wedding at Cana, where Jesus turns water into wine. The wedding at Cana is one of the seven signs in the Gospel of John that help reveal Jesus' identity, a sign that points to the abundance of God's gift of salvation. Yet at the same time, the wedding of Cana is a sign that only a few saw and understood what happened. Even though many tasted that high quality wine, only a few understand. What I mean by this is, think about it this way. Jesus turns gallons and gallons and gallons and gallons of water into wine. All right, so there's a whole lot of wine. But he does this at the end of the wedding, when all the other wine is gone. This probably means that the good portion of the people at this party, at this wedding, are already what we would call drunk. And when you're drunk, you are impaired. This is the same reason why the police pull you over when you are driving after drinking. You are unable. Your perception is changed. Your senses are dulled. On top of that, the Bible implies that many people don't know where this wine comes from, including the head steward, the head servant, who should know about this wine, or even the groom at the wedding. And even though the servants experience the transformation as they carry the water and they bring the water and then it changes into wine, the Bible tells us that only the disciples are said to believe. So out of this huge wedding feast, with both sober and drunk people, with rich people and poor people, Only the disciples believe after seeing the water turned into wine, bringing the grand total of followers. If we count how many have been appeared in the Bible so far, according to the Gospel of John, to 5. 7, if you include John the Baptizer and Mary, mother of Jesus. I mean, your mother is always going to believe really well into you. So, 7. So think about that. Not a whole lot. And in this point, it says something about how we see God's work in the world. It can be hard to see God's work. We have to be tuned to see it. We have to have our eyes peeled in such a way that we can see God's work. And recognize that many times the way we see that is not as clearly in this one-on-one encounter, but rather what it is it comes through others. We experience God through the hands of others. And we are all individuals, and as individuals, we actually experience God sometimes differently, sometimes in different places, yet we still can at the same time experience God together. It's what brings us to the church. And today's gospel lesson is really about an invitation to see God in the world. Philip invites Nathanael to come and see. Even when Nathanael has his doubts, an invitation can be a powerful first step in helping people see God. And this is the big reason why next week we're going to have a ministry expo. The hope of the expo is that you can come and talk to people in this congregation about where they and you have seen God calling. Talk about where we have encountered God in our world, whether it is at the altar or at the food shelter at Trinity, whether it's cleaning the beach, whether it's a whole list of things, whether it's going out of this country to Belize. Those places where people come back and say, I saw God there. I saw the need. I felt the calling of God come to me. And then, of course, the other hope is that you're invited. Because just like Philip invites Nathanael, that invitation can be a wonderful gift. And I always tell people, you know, sometimes I'm nervous about doing things, but if you do it with a friend, a warm face, it makes it surprisingly less scary. You know, when we see this in the gospel lessons, Jesus sent them out 2 by 2. He didn't send them out 1 by 1. 2 by 2, together into the world. And the activities at this expo may or may not pique your interest. But I deep down want you to know that there is an invitation there. And that we are a community of faith where you can share your faith and encounter God together. Because the invitation of God is not one that I look at as an obligation, but rather I see those invitations as a gift in itself. A chance to see God in the world, but also a chance for us to experience God together as one community that is always reaching out, but also a community that is enriching to our own faith. And that is the hope. So, with that, I'm going to say amen.